Welcome to NJASA's fourth podcast in our Frontline Leadership for Extraordinary Times series. We're speaking today with the 2020 Superintendent of the Year, Mackie Pendergrast of the Morris School District. Thank you, Mackie, for joining us today. I know that you're an avid reader and a nature enthusiast, but I have a feeling you're not getting much time for leisure reading or enjoyment outdoors. As the Chief Educational Officer for the Morris School District, I know you're busy now in ways that are different and challenging from the past during this quarantine period. So thank you for joining us today. And before we begin, how are you and your family doing?
Thanks, Rich. Everybody's well. We're making sure that we're doing our part by staying home, following the governor's executive orders regarding social distancing. I have a son home from college and a high schooler, and my wife's a teacher also. So we're all here, thankfully. We're all well, and we're all working from home. Thanks.
Glad to hear that good news. Let's talk to the meat of our conversation today, Mackie. You participated on the U.S. Department of Education's Superintendent's Technical Working Group, and your ideas and your vision helped to create the Future Ready Pledge. Your contributions were used to develop the White House Connect Ed agenda for the future convening of educational leaders relating to digital learning. And along with only 11 other superintendents, you worked to establish the Obama administration's National Educational Technology Plan. Quite impressive. Let me ask you this. During that working process, did you or any of your colleagues ever conceive or imagine that we'd be experiencing anything of this incredible magnitude today?
Yes and no. Certainly at that time, nobody was talking about a future pandemic. That never entered our conversation. Maybe the closest thing we got was an emergency snow day, but certainly nothing of this magnitude. However, we did talk a lot about things that are critical right now. For example, there was a lot of talk, there was a lot of attention that was being paid to the importance of making sure that technological infrastructure was in place so that learning could happen anywhere and everywhere, that learning could be ubiquitous. And certainly that work that was done 5 years ago, those conversations are paying off now. And of course, there was a lot of attention being paid to equity and universal Wi-Fi. The Morris School District's been working on that for the last 5 years to make sure there's universal Wi-Fi in all of our homes, especially to our economically disadvantaged families. So the transition was not a heavy lift for us. It certainly is a challenge, but we weren't starting from zero. Now, if you think about it, it really is amazing what the New Jersey schools have done. We've taken a face-to-face curriculum and instruction approach and brought it all online in a matter of weeks. But if you also think about it, all of our schools have been moving towards this kind of blended approach for many years. So there was definitely no conversation about pandemics and learning just from home, but there were a lot of things that were discussed 5 years ago that had really laid the foundation for what all of our schools have been able to do.
You know, you've done some incredible things in the Morris School District, and I know that many of the programs that you instituted there rely heavily on student participation and hands-on student relationships. It's been a very successful formula. You've dramatically improved test scores across all the grades, increased the number of students enrolled in honors classes, as well as advanced placement classes and their scores. But what's unique about this effort is that it's also substantially decreased student suspensions and behavioral issues. These achievements can directly be accredited to your focus with staff on encouraging students to participate in the classroom, extracurricular activities, student government, all of the aspects of school life. How do you continue that effective focus when we're practicing social distancing in this time?
Yeah, that's such a great question. The Morris School District, we have a fundamental belief that each student must feel like they belong and they must feel valued by the entire school community. And we've invested heavily in that concept. We try to surround our students with an array of caring adults. That's our mantra that we repeat weekly. We've even had faculty meetings where the teachers go through and rate their connection to individual students. So it's a formula that works. The proof of concept is there. So the question you ask is a great one. How can we assure each student belongs and feels connected to an array of adults from a remote location in their house? That's the challenge. And that was our first concern when we transitioned to virtual remote learning. Our first concern really was, can we keep that connection? We prioritized that. Luckily, the closure came in mid-March after 7 months of the school, where those connections with adults have been made. And so in some ways, it's been easier to maintain that connection through teachers and clubs and coaches who may be creating videos for their sport or music lessons or conducting chat rooms on certain causes. So in that sense, we've been able to, I think, maintain that. Starting those relationships new in September will be another challenge if we're still in this environment. But also, you know, we've been really obsessive about, and this is one of the benefits of technology, is through GoGuardian and other things that we have, we can really look and see who's participating well in that virtual remote learning or who's participating casually or not participating. We have that data. So we have a system built where we really jump on the first sign that students are not connected to their learning or their classroom or the community. And we have a system, we're reaching out directly, we're calling home, keeping those connections with those parents and students. We also want our students to feel connected to the community. And so, you know, doing something constructive and positive during this crisis, that's important. Service learning it's more important now than it's ever been. So our kids are involved in fundraisers to support our local hospital. We spoke today as an administrative team about our children writing letters of gratitude to the really incredible heroes that are in our hospitals right now. So these types of measures really empower our students, make them more resilient and stronger and more connected to the community. So yes, it certainly is a challenge, but I think creating meaningful connections between students and the community is also something that all of our schools are going to get better and better at over the next few months. But it is certainly a unique challenge.
You know, I certainly observe, and others agree, that in times of great stress or tragedy or something such as this nature after Superstorm Sandy, people look at the schools. They look at it a place for stability, for hope, an institution that they rely upon. It really becomes the center of community as it has now. You're feeding families, literally. You are, trying to maintain that connection. And so our parents, our students, our community look to the schools and the staff to instill hope, optimism, and give them some sense of normalcy. You've talked a little bit about how your district is trying to accomplish that in terms of not just the academic needs, but the social and emotional needs of your community. When you communicate and your staff communicate with your when you communicate with your staff and when they communicate with their students and communities, what's your message? And how often do you think we should be connecting with families in that way?
Well, we try to make sure that, you know, we're putting together a coherent communication system so that it's happening at a whole bunch of different levels. Our teachers with the kids, our counselors are jumping in. Certainly administrators also, and central office. So we want to make sure that we're over-communicating. I think people certainly are looking to us, like you stated. They're looking for us for that sense of stability and normalcy. It's a great question. And there are real urgent concerns and real difficult challenges that our families are facing. And so they're looking to us. And so it's more important than ever. We always talk about communication as a superintendent. And when in doubt, over-communicate. Back in February, in early February, we set up a coronavirus update center on our website so that our parents kind of had a dedicated place to go to for accurate information. You know, in an era of social media, rumors and false information can really spread quickly. So we felt it was important to have a trusted place of information. And over the last 6 weeks, we, from a central office, we've communicated out 11 times about different things. And looking at the data on that, we've had over 125,000 pages viewed on that update center. So we feel like that's really worked. I mean, that shows, again, proof of concept of what you asked, Rich. I mean, people look to us for that solace and accurate information and how to proceed forward. So I think when we communicate, there are a few important things that we just want to continue to emphasize. One, to our parents, we have a plan for your children. This is our life's work. Yes, this is brand new. Learning from home, these are new challenges, extraordinary. But we're experts at this. This is our life's work. We've got a plan for your children, and we're going to take care of them. You know, we may not get everything right in this transition, but we're going to take care of your kids. I think we need to continue to communicate that to our families. It's really also important to show, I think, the whole community the principles and values that are guiding you and guiding the district. We created a doc just about our guiding principles for, you know, virtual and remote learning and communication. We want to be really explicit about that. That's also an accountability device, so the community can kind of hold us accountable to our values, which is always important. Of course, you know, we approach communication with a real consultative spirit and a tremendous sense of responsibility for all the reasons you just mentioned. We know our parents have urgent concerns, they're facing real challenges from either the workplace or health. We try to listen, not just listen, but respond to those concerns. We surveyed our community last week. We received over 2,400 responses from students and parents and teachers, nearly 1,000 comments. And that instrument is really helping us shape our future action. So we're really trying to show that we're responsive. We're not just communicating in terms of telling information, but we're listening, and this is a community effort. And we're going to take care of their kids and meet their needs.
You know, I really, and I'm sure your community as well as I, appreciate that message. You know, that candor, that you're trying, that you're improving, about the life work of the professionals. You know, you've got this. This is what you do, and you're adapting and you're improving at it every day. One of the things in terms of looking at the school year, you know, there's a cadence to the school year. We celebrate holidays. We have vacations. There's a spring recess. And one of the things, especially as we get to the end of the career for our high school students, question I'm being asked by the media that parents are raising, what about graduations? What about proms? What about academic achievement, athletic award ceremonies? What's that look like in your district? I assume you're getting those same questions. And do you have any plans or predictions or insight to how that might go?
So here, it's the middle of April. And we see 3,000 plus new coronavirus cases every single day in New Jersey, increasing death rates. So we're either, I guess, again, I'm not an epidemiologist, but we're getting to peak, or we're still a week to 10 days away. I'm not really sure, but it's still very prominent in New Jersey. And I think those facts will dictate, you know, what happens in our district. All of us, of course, we want to have these end of the year celebrations. There's so much to celebrate, especially now. I think it's more important than ever that we come together as a community to be grateful and celebrate. But we have to let, you know, the facts play out. Who knows where we're going to be a month from now? You know, by May 15th, we could be in a vastly improved situation. Again, I'm not an expert on these types of things. Those facts will just play out and will guide our decision making. Certainly, of course, the governor and the CDC and the New Jersey Health Department. We lean, of course, heavily on their guidance. And we are motivated by, you know, the people and taking care of everybody's health and wellness. And so we'll just have to wait and see as the facts unfold when it comes to graduation and some of these things that are in June.
Yes, and you know, that uncertainty creates anxiety. And I'm sure that your community appreciates all that you and the staff are doing every day to help help people to relax, feel a sense of faith. That candor about not knowing exactly what's going to happen is really important, rather than making a prediction, as you say, isn't based on facts or even in our control as we wait to see what the governor of our state will decide for the remainder of this school year. Mackie, concluding today, I want to thank you. You're a real forward thinker, and that reputation has earned you that recognition of being the 2020 Superintendent of the Year. You've been taking bold, innovative approaches to education in your community. I know you're doing that with your staff. You have any other recommendations or advice that you could share with our members as we all face these unprecedented challenges?
Well, we were talking, there's a group of superintendents talking today, and there's 1,000 issues, right, that we're all trying to figure out for the sake of our kids. But just looking at this from 30,000 feet, taking a global look at it, and in some ways, this is healthy for us to really re-examine our values, really re-examine the purpose of our educational institutions. I think we talked about today, we have to be really mindful of the emotional well-being of these students. If you think about these kids, especially the kids who are in high school, but certainly all of them, you know, they have grown up in an era of two great economic collapses, the many negative effects of social media. We know anxiety and depression statistically is up over the last 10 years for this group of kids. There's been incredible school violence and now a pandemic along with that economic disruptance. So we're all really concerned. I think as a group of educators, we have to take a real hard look at how we reorientate the education that we provide so we take care of these students and we really look at their mental health and all of our mental health. And I think when this is all over, as a group of educators, we're really going to have to take a close look at mental health being our number one priority in our schools. I think we have to answer the question or ask the question and find good and great answers. How do we set up our schools so our students are resilient and emotionally strong? How do we set up our schools so that they are ready to shoulder so many important tasks as adults and the next generation? These are the things that when we get through all this, we're really going to have to look at it as a group. And our superintendents throughout the state are such an impressive group. I look forward to really exploring that question.
Mackie, thank you so much for joining us today. You're representing all our colleagues so well. You're very pointed in terms of how that's a collective responsibility, talking with your colleagues in Morris County throughout the state. And I know that this conversation and your points will help enlighten and encourage all our members. So thank you so much. We wish you well in the weeks ahead, and we'll be communicating with you and all of our members going forward.
Thank you, Rich. Be well.
Thank you. And to our viewers and our listeners, remember, we will be distributing one interview per week. So please monitor your email, visit njasa.net, and subscribe to our NJAS podcast. Until then, I'm Rich Baza. Please be safe, stay well, and remain healthy.